Stevie Ray Vaughan, and I didn't want to do anything that was too wigged out and wacky, because this motherfucker is definitely online now. All right. Hello, Jeff. Hello, Oren. Hello, Bunny. Luke, a.k.a. Dean Freakin' Wheeler. We also have Johnny Kilbasa is with us. And we have Jeff. And another Jeff. We've got, is this the Jeff from upstate? I say upstate California. We also have Xander. Jamie Rocks is with us. Jamie Rocks, thank you for your video contribution today on Facebook. And let's see who else. I think I saw Allie back there, but I think she bailed on our ass because George Smith is with us. And other people. So nice to see you guys. Sorry about this delay. What happened was, I'll give you the lowdown on this. The website was uploading a new script, and the script had a virus, or it had a bug or some shit. It wasn't a virus. It was more like a glitch of some kind. And Mike Nickus is saying, Colt Luger, yeah, sometimes a man's got to do what a man does. That's my big contribution to that, and I play the part of the boss in a couple of episodes. I don't know if they, you know, it was one of those things. I can give you some. Allie, hello, how you doing? It's Dr. Jeff, cool. David Riley is with us. David, let me tell you about F is for Family so you guys know kind of how this thing gets happening. I did all these episodes as the boss, as Bill's father's boss. And they came to me very nicely, too, because they're, you know, they'll always come to you very nicely and say, Phil, yeah, that's right, Luke. We got a denial of service from Anonymous. I would be fucking proud, to be honest. I'd have to ask Anonymous, why me, you know? They come to you and they will say to you, listen, Phil, you know, it happens. It happens to a lot of actors, a lot of voice actors. You know, we signed so-and-so for this part. You were great, but we've got so-and-so. And what that means is they've got a big-name star, and I don't want to mention any names. They did mention a name to me. I don't want to mention the name. Were I actually doing full-on comedy here, I'd go, his name is actually... I won't even do that. They said, you know, we didn't know we could get him, and they did. And so I can understand that. So I think I may have gotten replaced, I don't know, by that particular actor. And it's not because you're, yeah, the tits over my... What is going on here, man? I thought I had some fucking ocean going on here. But anyway, that's that. Paul Dentina was with us. You sound like the guys on TV, too. Cool. Boobs over your left shoulder. That's right. Christopher, wow, I feel like I had to break out of prison to get in on the show. No shit, man. Jeff is hitting on Allie, and naturally, where is Sheila? Where are the chat bitches tonight? Excuse my language, I'm sorry, but you know, we have a series of chat bitches. I think what we should do is have the if it was not too much of an imposition, the chat bitches should send us photographs that we can post here behind me and have the chat bitches just you know. Phil, could you scoot over about a foot to the right? You are blocking the video, and I think my sister was just featured. You got it, brother. My right or your right? Oh, wait. Ah! If your sister was just featured, she's about 70 years old now. I just want you to know. By the way, anybody who's a Florida resident, I should say, will note that this film was shot in Florida. This film is one of the early so-called nudie cuties, and it's called Diary of a Nudist, and it's a film that Alan Spies is in from Miami. Brother, how you doing? Yes, it was down, Alan, and your AC was broken. It doesn't have anything to do with the... Doris Wishman, by the way, was one of the big directors of Nudie Cuties. Yes, a female director. She was one of the big directors of the early 60s and late 50s of Nudie Cuties. And this film, shot in Florida, is a beautiful thing. Four words for you: Santa, Spunk, and Noglip. Good God. That's from Jeff. I would guess that would be from you, Jeff, because you doctors, man. You doctors. Xander, Phil is going to have a harem of check bitches on his green screen. We hope. We can only hope and pray that that shit happens. I noticed since I mentioned that, all the women are gone. Just gone. That's all right. I don't blame them, man. Women are busy. They have shit they got to do. They have lives they have to lead. They don't have time for the shit that you and I. Now, see, there's no tits on the screen. And plus, this is not a very female-friendly chat we're starting off with here. This particular film, by the way, just to give you some background, is a Doris Wishman. And it is typical of the nudie cuties back in the day. And what do I mean by that? This film was allowed to be shown under the auspices of a sort of, I guess, whatever the law was back then, if it was educational. If it was educational. And so you could shoot these and say, well, it's about a nudist colony. See, it shows life in a nudist colony. And okay, yeah, they would allow you to display this or exhibit this publicly. Well, you and I both know, if there's just one of you and one of me, if there's one of me and there's like six of you, you and all of you, me and all of you know that this is a film just about looking at tits. Anyway, and there you see, they're shuffleboarding. Now, here's where I got a problem. See the kid? Technically, that's fucked up. As the law exists today, technically, that's all fucked up. The reason why it's not... I'm sorry. I'm blocking the view. The reason why it is not viewed as a... Yes, last night, did you see that, Stephen? Fan-fucking-tastic. Prince of Pennsylvania is the finest documentary on that douchebag, that DuPont douchebag that I've seen. And I've watched a shit-pot load of them. I'll tell you that right now. If you guys have seen Foxcatcher, you'll want to see the 30-30 on 30 for 30 series on ESPN called The Prince of Pennsylvania, because it's about our good, close, personal friend there, Fuckwad Milligan. No, who's the guy? John DuPont. So in any event, Jamie, Alan is in Coconut Grove. Alan, I've got great memories of Coconut Grove, man. Great memories. I'm serious. Great memory. Is the Mayfield Hotel still there? Or was it called the Mayfair? Mayfair Hotel? Had great times there. And great cocktails at that Dan Marino bar. You know, that big sports bar, that crazy-ass bar. And then going across the bay to South Beach. Good times in Miami, man. So, yeah, if you notice. So, anyway, these goddamn films, they get away with it because they call it educational, so... George says it wasn't his sister, it was Hillary. Lauren and I were watching the UFC fight. Was it last Saturday? Yeah, we watched we watched it last Saturday, but we watched it again. The 15 seconds that it took for Conor McGregor to knock that chap out with that left, you know. The left hand, no one can take the Mayfair. It's still there, Alan? You live 20 feet from it. Now, is Coconut Grove, when you say you live 20 feet from it, I want to say, well, that's good. I think that means that the neighborhood's gotten better, but maybe it's gotten worse. I don't know. Stephen Miller, 30 for 30, says, great, I just saw the Holyfield-Tyson one. Yes. That is what Subway Jared got thrown in jail for. Yes. Christopher is mentioning the... he's mentioning the... that piece of shit movie we were just watching. Not a piece of shit movie, because it was a different time and different era, but to show children in a film that's intended for an adult audience only is way fucked up, but that's kind of how they thought back then, you know? And now we get it, you know, because it's shit that just cannot, we cannot abide. So, good to be with you guys tonight. We'll hang here for roughly an hour. I apologize, and as I mentioned, we had a major problem with getting the site on online, getting the site up and running. I don't know why that happened, but it did, and here I am. Here I am on the site, but that's not really me in real time. This is me in real time. This is me here on the website a few seconds ago, so... What if I just kept doing this all night? Just said, hi, woo. All right. See, that is what it is. Luke, I watched that one as well. Yes, on McFarland across from St. Stephen's Episcopal, just west of the Mutiny. Beautiful, man. I didn't know that there was a Episcopal church down there in the Grove. But great times down there, man. And so much fun and so many great people. And Miami in the 90s for me, I mean, everybody in their own way remembers, you know, the good times they were having, but wherever you were. But for me, I will always remember life in the 90s, which was not too bad in terms of what was happening in the country, you know, in terms of the economy and all that shit. But for me, I will always remember the Miami, because that was fun. I mean, a lot of fun. And I used to say to people, so well, would you, you know, if you could have gotten nationally syndicated, would you come to LA? I said, if I could have gotten it done in Miami, I would have stayed in Miami the rest of my life. Seriously. Stephen Miller, I very much liked A Very Murray Christmas on the Netflix. What's that about, man? What's A Very Murray Christmas about? Is that the new one? Is that a new flick? I don't know. I had a tweet out, man, that we are up and running on this bitch. Let's see here. Calling all BSPs. Calling all BSPs. We're chatting. When your mother... PhilAndryShow.com. Boom. Yeah, it's nuts. These are the little effects I can do, James. You know, just hey, man, woo. Hey, what's up? Hey, what's up? And, of course, what you're seeing right now isn't even real time. Here is what I think you're seeing, but in point of fact, you're not even seeing that anymore. You're seeing this, but what you're seeing right now is well behind what you ought to be seeing, which is this. See, so. No, we're not boring, man. Just people don't know where the fuck we are. Could you bring back Raj Fadin and Todd back again? And how about Todd conversing with Skyboy? That'd be nice. By the way, for whoever it was, I did have Margaret singing Beyond the Sea this past week, and we did implement a couple of other things. I forget what they were. Let me just make a note of that, Jeff. Could you bring back... Because I am making a big effort at tracking everything you guys are telling me now, so we can drop this into the show. Kind of a weird week with the shows this week, and I'll tell you why. We're trying to get ahead on a lot of shit that we have to get ahead on. One of them is the Milwaukee fucking Lions. And the Milwaukee Lions are, it's a huge effort to make sure that we're current on those games. Those games have got to be every week. Johnny Kilbasa asking me, Phil, when you use sound beds for characters, right here, when you use sound beds for characters on the phone, it seems that that track is not run through the phone. Do you mix that bed a certain way to blend best with the phone line? I will tell you, when I use sound beds, if it was originally mixed for the phone, it sounds like a phone. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes we don't have time to make it sound like it's going through a phone. To answer your question more specifically, Johnny, I don't dig using EQ to create phone sounds. That's not good enough. It just sounds like really fucking tinny sounding audio. I want it to sound like a phone. So in order for me to have an audio track sound like it's going through the phone, I have to play it through the board, put it into my headphones, and record it on my phone, and then run the phone back into the mic and record it on Audacity. So, and you might think, well, wow, that's probably cool. Not really. You know, I still have to roll a lot of high-end and shit off of it and make it sound really good. To get an authentic phone sound, I mean an authentic phone sound, I'm not talking about rolling all the fucking low-end off and just like, hi, I'm on a telephone right now. I mean an authentic phone sound. It is extremely, it necessitates a great ear and really understanding what you want to hear. If you want an authentic phone sound, you got to work your fucking ass off. And so a lot of times I find myself just rolling with the sound effect as it is, because most people are not processing it the way that you might, I don't think. They may be, but that's my only... comment on that. James Coffin says he's confused, probably because I was doing the whole, hey, man. Brandon Durham, I'm on Peyote's Phil's video is freaking me out. Thank you. Here is, why don't I just, just try to lip sync to myself. And I can tell you right now that my face is wild and I'm wearing this shirt. And how are you? Raj Fadin singing his Dairy Queen song is top notch. You got it, man. How does that Dairy Queen song go, by the way? Paul Dentino. Oh, yeah, Raj should join Elcott. Fuck yes. Paul, are you drunk? It's okay. You can, you're entitled to be, but I just want to make sure I know whether or not you are. Jeff, yes, Xander, love that bit. James Kaufman, Brandon, don't go tripping. Richard Kruger joins us. Love my BSP. The general is so funny. By the way, I want to thank you, Richard, very much. I want to let you guys know that I got a flag in the mail with a certificate that it had been flown in Iraq by United States Air Force, a major and his unit, in honor of the Phil Hendry Show. And we just got it this past week. And by God, I'm very, very proud of that. And Jeff also loved Mavis Leonard singing Nail That Baby to the Bed. Phil, wow, thanks, Phil. I had no idea. What's that, Johnny? What did I say? What did I do? How did I say it? What did I do? How did I... You say, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah, just explaining to you how that shit goes down. But there's a lot of people who might do it different from me, but I like to... You know, back in the day, it was realism and making it sound fucking, you know, real was really important. Now that we're doing more of a presentational, theatrical, comedic presentation, it's not that important. And that's another consideration, man. You want the humor to come through as much as you can, more so than, you know, perhaps the... You know, it's more important than the reality of the sound effect. Luke says, Phil, how about Christmas roundtable reflection with Father McQuarters, Pastor Rennick, Reverend Castorini, and maybe Elcott for good measure, erupts into a brawl? That's not a bad idea, but I can tell you this. We're thinking of doing the Christmas Carol because we've had a lot of requests for that. And, you know, I would like to do that. I got to remember it was Ebenezer Dickman. And I'm thinking instead of me being Bob Cratchit, I'm thinking of Steve Bozell would be a perfect Bob Cratchit, I think. Steve Cratchit. Or maybe Bob Bozell. No, Steve Cratchit would be good. From Stephen Miller, I'm younger than you, Mr. Hendry, but I still remember the rotary phone. Yeah? Who could ever forget it? And I was just talking to Lauren tonight about that book I was telling you guys about, Exploding the Phone, the whole... phone freak culture of the 70s, 60s, and before, featuring a subculture of sort of phone freaky people, blind teenagers, and unreal, man. From Keenan Boyle, who was the guest that was teaching kids to shoot guns good? He got in a big fight with a caller about guns. Probably it was Lloyd Bonafide, Keenan. He was teaching, I think, his grandson to shoot. Jeff says, Raj got me a burger. Crap my pants, now I'm barfing and chased by ants. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Was that Raj, or are you just making that up, Jeff? Because I know you have a tendency to do that, man. No, I think that was right. Remember when Raj did that.
Because Raj Fadin is talking like this, you know, and, you know, the Americans, it's just too fat, you know?
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, it's too fat. You know, you're fucking fat motherfuckers, you know, these bastards. Jesus.
Now, let's see here. Something like, I saw an American at a Dairy Queen, and one bite, he ate the whole thing. That's right. That's right. He was singing those anti-American fast food songs. The new guest was hilarious this week. Who was that, man? The new guest. Thank you very much, though, Jamie. That was the funniest damn thing ever. Keenan says... Oh, yeah, that was I think, Lloyd Bonafide, Keenan. I think he was teaching his grandson or some shit like that how to shoot. James Coffin, Phil, more Raj, please. I like the show where Raj kept repeating, you women are stupid, you women are stupid. The women are stupid, you know? Or in Son American, eat a corn dog. Next thing you know, she shot out a log. Bullshit. Did he actually say that? Alan, Steve Bozell whining about Tiny Tim getting all the attention and then suing him would be funny. R.C. Collins as Tiny Tim. Thanks, Orin. Keenan is saying, I'm going to have to go back and find that clip. Any recollection of when it was? The Raj Fadin clip, I don't know. But, you know, you guys can use the search engine a lot. I'll tell you, more often than not, I found what I needed using that search engine. And Paul writes, exploding the phone. You better smile when you say that. Yeah. exploding the phone, smiling. The new guest, the talk show host, woman conservative. What? Oh, man, that was...
That was you talking about Mr. Wilson, you know. Yeah, you talking about...
Woman conservative. Oh, Dana Loesch. Yeah. Oh, I just was fucking with her, man. Dana Loesch, yeah. Yeah, that was a goofy, kooky thing, man. See what we got here with the chicks. What is this shit? Oh, god damn. Is this Joe Montana? Fuck. God damn. Here we are. Nudidities. You can find this. And oh, by the way, I'm busier than a motherfucker. This weekend, I've got a... We're finishing up writing this goddamn... Oh, yeah, call me Grandpa, yeah. That's always a real effective line of attack. Hey, Phil, glad we got this going tonight. By the way, I'm the guy that tweeted standing erect. Bungholio, way to do it, brother. I saw that, man. Thank you very much. R.C. was the first guest I ever heard on the show. To this day, he is still my favorite. People love R.C. Collins, man. R.C. Collins is like, in the words of... Jonah Weiland, my first producer, R.C. Collins is godlike. Vernon Dozier had a retarded brother named Jeffrey who would stomp on the bell when Vern ran a gas station. Yes. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, he... ding, ding! That's right. Go ahead and just...
All right, Jeff, are you... ding, ding! Attaboy, just go ahead and do the goddamn bell. Ding, ding! Good man. Now, we have the bell. Oh, Christ, there's Dianne Feinstein. She is, I used to be very much enamored of her, and now it just doesn't seem to work. But go ahead, Jeff, do it. Ding, ding. Now, is there a car coming through? Ding, ding. No, I'm asking, is there a car coming through? Is there, Jeffrey? Ding, ding. Jeffrey, is there a car coming through? No. Then don't go ding, ding. Don't go ding, ding. I made him fucking cry. That's
what is that? Thank you, Jamie. Well, look, Stephen R.C. has been great this week. Hello, don't let him die. Hello, Oren Nussbaum. Jeff, then the bell broke and the retard brother just yelled out, ding, ding, right. You guys are something else, man. Truth. Yeah. That, by the way, that was based on, wasn't based on, but it, there was a lot of, Will Sasso did a character in a movie called Drop Dead Gorgeous. Do you guys remember this movie, Drop Dead Gorgeous? And Will's character was, you know, developmentally disabled, shall we say. I had a brother, and Will's character would look at the camera and just, are we on Cops? Are we on Cops? You know, he would say this. And to me, it's like one of the funniest goddamn characters ever created. And I, you know, forgive me, it's, you know, of a disabled person. But come on, man. You know, there are moments. By the way, here's a guy that looks exactly like Derek Waters, who's the producer of Drunk History. And yet it's Eddie DiBartolo, who is the owner, late owner, or the old owner, or the ex, or whatever the fuck he was, of the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. Moving along here with some other comments. Yeah, for some reason, a large number of mentally challenged and fat characters, Jeff. You're right. It's probably not right of me, but I'd rather be wrong. If loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Okay? yeah, the bell broke, Jeff. Yes, it was comedy gold, James. Jeff, and he'd put an oil pan on his head and pretend to be the man. Pretend to be the man from space. Phil has, for some reason, a large number of mentally challenged and fat characters. Keenan Boyle, R.C. should intern at all the characters' businesses. Oh, by the way, Keenan, I did that, man. Each week, Phil checks in, R.C. interning. This week, he interned with Steve Bozell, and he was tased. And he tased Steve Bozell because he thought Steve Bozell was going for his dick, and it was actually just R.C. was straddling a shovel, And so the wooden handle of the shovel was sticking out, and Steve went to grab it because he wanted to use it. And RC thought he was going for his dick, although it wasn't his dick. It was, you see what I'm saying? So I did do that, Keenan. I want you to, if that was your suggestion, I'll go ahead and make a copy of that bad boy. Let me make a copy of that bad boy. But yeah, we are full on RC intern mode on the show here. Bungholio. Bud should fart, and instead of just the rancid stench, he should actually shit his pants. The panel reaction would be great. Yeah. Classic. I think my fave characters, Bob Green and Dean Wheeler, an asshole and a pussy. It's the truth. Harold. Mike Nickus is Harold. Is that the name of the... I don't know what you're referring to, Mike. Was that the name of the brother? Can't wait till RC interns for Ted Bell. Yeah. The challenge with any one of those intern jobs is who gets the upper hand? Does RC or does the other character? In the case of RC and Steve Dooley, that seemed like a no-brainer. It's going to be RC. But what about RC and Ted Bell? Who gets the upper hand in that? And if he does, how? My feeling would be that RC would, because, you know, Ted Bell is a ridiculous caricature, even compared to RC. It's pretty funny how RC, as over the top as he is it makes everybody else look like even a worse caricature. Bungholio, come on, don't look at me like something that just dropped out of an elephant's ass. That's a quotable moment there. Who said that, Bungholio? I've got to know. Jeff, did Disney give you grief over that bit you did about the live reporter from Disneyland getting blasted in the balls? Jeff, if you're asking me that question, you know they did, and you'd be right. Yes, they did, and I can tell you the full story on that getting blasted in the nuts. As you know, if you heard the bit, I pretended to have gotten hit in the balls with a bag full of ball bearings, and I ran off, and whoever hit me in the nuts in this particular bit ran off, and I sounded like I was in agony, and I said I was at Disneyland, and all of the things that today, quite frankly, would get me probably fined by the FCC. I, to be honest with you, I don't know that anybody really complained to the FCC, and I'm not even sure that it was finable. You know, what it was me representing that I was someplace and creating sort of an emergency by saying I got hit in the balls with a sock full of ball bearings by this kid running by. Well, Disney did get upset because a couple of people called, I don't know how many, but a couple of people called Disneyland and said, KFI's got a reporter on the property, and he's getting hit in the nuts with a, I mean, I don't know how they put it. And yeah, I got into trouble. And from that day forward, Disney said that they would not advertise. This is what I was told by the powers that be at KFI, that Disney would not advertise on their radio station. To, you know, Disney, or to KFI's credit, they could have fired my ass, and they didn't. I mean, that's a big account. Although I'm not quite sure that Disney was advertising on KFI, but they did have a tie-in with Coast, and Coast FM was the FM sister station to KFI. And they had, I think they had a huge tie-in with Coast in those days. Back in those days, the late 90s, early 2000s, I think Dick Clark was still their spokesperson. Yeah, so it caused a bunch of shit. But you know, those were the days where management would you know, back me up, you know. Management stopped, you know, the thing that happened with management is they stopped backing you up when Janet Jackson showed her tits on TV. To this day, I don't understand that, but why all of a sudden that became a big thing for radio. But hey, Ken Arce goes to a Chris Norton porn shoot. Yeah, that'd be RC's dream. This week's thing about the show that never fails to crack me up, the Basso Profundo, yes. Is Margaret getting drunk at the BHS Christmas party this year and gets molested by Bud? Possibly. Oren Nussbaum says, what was the Vernon bit revolving around going to Subway and getting a foot-long tuna? Oren, that was Vernon working at Subway in the summertime, because as a teacher, obviously, he's off during the summer months. And so, like a lot of teachers that I know and that taught me, they have to take a job in the summertime. I don't know if teachers still do that, but back in the day, they did. And some of them, I had a history teacher, Mr. Aaron, who was a garbage man in the summer. This guy literally had a job dumping fucking garbage in the summer. You believe that shit? That's, you know, how well our teachers are paid. This guy, Vernon Dozier, takes a job in the summertime working at Subway. Well, something happened between him and one of the parents. And Vernon would be, you know, yeah, what do you want? And any parent that he hated would come in and order a sandwich. Yes, sir, what can I get you? And he'd be very resentful. Yeah, give me a foot long. Yeah. Come on, more. Slather on the mayo. Yeah, that's it. That a boy. You know, they would really humiliate him. Well, at one point, I think Vernon was walking out of his job one night, having just completed his shift. And he was accosted, I think, by the father of the girl that he married. A girl that was 18 legally, and it was just out of high school, but nonetheless, the father accosted him. And as he accosted Vernon, the footlong Subway that Vernon had made for himself for dinner fell on the cement. And so Vernon said, "You owe me for a footlong tuna." And that became kind of a show. I think they call them memes now, if I'm not mistaken. From Dean Freakin' Wheeler, Phil, are there characters that really only worked well when you had callers? Raj Fineen, perhaps Bob Green. Seems that some need those unsuspecting callers more than others. I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, the unsuspecting caller thing is born out of a period of talk radio where there were people calling, you know. I don't work on a talk station anymore, so it's very difficult to say to you, you know, whether or not a character works better with callers. There, I think it comes down to people who, you know, obviously the show we did where we had phone callers was sort of revolutionary, and it was very funny and exploited and played up a lot of the, you know, absurdity of talk radio. There's no question about it. But the fact of the matter is, talk radio itself has become a caricature of itself. And so in order to, you know, and I know better than anybody else how difficult it is to work a caller base and get people to call who don't know you're doing a character. And today, people think everything is shock jock. Today, people think everything is prank. Everything is a joke. Everything is, you know, there's somebody waiting around the corner to fuck with them, you know. Nobody is surprised by that shit anymore. You know, no one is really surprised by somebody. You know, like the dude, remember that dude on whatever show it was, had his son in a balloon, like a hot air balloon, and it got loose, and he's running, and he's scared, and he's screaming, and everybody thinks, oh, my God. And then they realize the guy's full of shit. I mean, that really, in and of itself, was kind of like what our show was. And I believe, and in fact, I know, that our radio show was the first media presentation to begin to sort of crank and you know, satirize the culture that way. So today, my characters, do they work better with unsuspecting callers? I think the question is irrelevant. They have to work in and of themselves, and I think they do work in and of themselves. I think they're real caricatures, you know. I tell you, you guys could help me with something. Name me a talk show that takes lots of phone calls. Now, I don't mean a talk show that has guests. Name me a talk show that takes a lot of phone calls from people who are, you know, just people that are sort of, shall we say, sort of sampling stations and are just, oh, I think I'll call that person. You know, they're kind of cuming, popping in and out. I don't know of any, to be honest with you. Don Mixa is your best new character, Phil Hendry, in my opinion. Thanks, Stephen. I like that character a lot. One of the reasons why I like that character is he has a... he's got an upstate New York accent. This is an upstate New York accent. There's no question about it. And I got to tell you, I like everything about it. You know, I grew up with this kind of accent. My dad had friends, these guys that were from upstate New York, that had a kind of accent like this, you know. Bungholio, I said it to you after my bud shitting comment drew that look from you, but I think Margaret has said something similar several times while on the panel. That's from Bungholio. I'm not sure what you're referring to, Bungholio, but that's my fault, not yours. From Keenan, RC interns from Mavis and has to drive her to Tall Boy's beer to get Tall Boy beers. Luke, it really says a lot that everyone has different favorite characters. That's how it should be. Yep, I think that's great, and bless you guys for having favorite characters. Just how did Don Mix's breath get so bad, Jeff? Don is he's a teacher. He drinks a lot of coffee, and he smokes a lot of cigarettes. And he also drinks a lot of milk in the morning, and he doesn't have time. He's an intellectual. He brushes his teeth, but he doesn't have time to get involved in all that fancy, you know, massaging of the gums and the... he's just one of these guys that doesn't pay attention to his breath. He's one of these guys that wears the tweed jacket or the very heavy wool jackets. He's got a hair, you know, a nose hair, you know, just a hair coming out of his nose, okay? You know, he's got an uneven shave. We've seen this guy. He's got sort of that salt and pepper hair that's combed properly, but not quite. And he's got a full head of hair. This part you don't get. You know, he's such a slob, but, you know, he's handsome. He could have been handsome, but he's an intellectual, didn't care. He also has sort of nicotine discolored teeth. You know, and when he gets around, how you doing? You know, I wanted to tell you, and the smell coming off this motherfucker's mouth is enough to know. It would literally gag a buzzard off a meat wagon. I'm Don Mixa. Okay. I'm pretty sure teachers still need summer jobs if they don't have any other source of income, according to Bungholio, husband's year-round job, etc. Teachers here in Houston make like $40,000 after 10 years. I don't know. That doesn't sound like a lot. For a teacher, I think teachers are... Is there a more important job in this world and they get $40,000 a year? I don't know. Spouse's year-round job. Okay. So, Bungholio, are you male or female? Just curious. I don't know. I can't tell from the comment. Jeff... RC interning at Norton Splodes would end up cleaning the set. That's the truth. James Kaufman, Luke, I thought David Hall worked well with callers. Well, David Hall did, yeah. Jimmy Rocks, I do a little podcast, and we have the ability to have callers. What a pain in the neck trying to talk to a guest and fielding the calls and all of that, let alone what you did. I could never even think of doing something like that. All right, well, Jamie, you do a podcast, and you have callers. How many different callers would you say you have? In other words, are they the same people that call every week? Or do you have a real turnover of callers? You know what I'm saying? Because there's a thing called QM, and obviously you need to have new callers. That caller base has to be refreshed. Phil, thanks for explaining that bit. I remember some of the funny lines, but not the backstory. Oren, you're welcome, buddy. Oren was asking about... Well, he was asking about a bit. From Charles, back in your syndication days, was there ever an affiliate program director, station manager put your show on not knowing exactly what they were getting? I don't know, Charles. I suspect yes. You know, I suspect yes. But I can't say for sure. I can tell you that I do suspect that there were some program directors that went ahead and put the show on because they were promised all kinds of whatever. And, I have no idea, though. I got a call. I'll tell you a story, Jeff, or was it James? Charles. Charles, I'll tell you a story. I got a call one night from a woman who proceeded to give me all this shit while I was trying to screen the calls, because I used to screen the calls along with Chris Pelton or whoever else. We'd do a double screen. And I was a very fast and brutal screener, because my philosophy was you really... are not going to find good calls unless you really sort of use a sense as to whether these people are serious. And the only way you'll find out if they're serious or not is if you're really fast and you're slightly abrasive with them. I got a call from a woman who was telling me that, you know, your show's phony and your callers are this and that. And she was basically arguing with me. Okay. Not to say she doesn't have the right to argue, but I get a call later from this woman's husband. That's right, her husband. He says, I'm the husband of that woman that you talked to very rudely, and I'm the program director of a station you're on up here in Washington. I said, really? He said, yeah. I said, well, what is your goddamn wife doing calling up and cranking my show? She's not cranking your show. I said, you know that I'm here trying to make a living. I'm trying to get phone calls. I'm trying to put my show on the air. And your wife calls up, and while I'm working, is giving me all this bullshit about my phony show. I said, you have my show on your station? And I said a whole bunch of other choice things that I won't go into here. But the bottom line and my point was, if you have my show on your station, why the fuck is your wife calling me in the middle of my show and hassling me and essentially, you know, reading me some kind of a fucking riot act, man? Wouldn't you want the show to be as successful as possible and therefore keep your fucking wife off the phone and not talking to me so I could get down to the basics of doing my job? Anyway. From Jeff, yes, Keenan, just hearing him say the name of his fellow actors is funny. Imagine RC, yeah, Lotta Box, Lisa Lips. They're real gooder. James Kaufman, Coast to Coast takes a lot of callers. Not anymore. No, Coast to Coast takes a lot of callers who are new. That's probably the question I should have asked. How much do these shows turn callers over? In other words, what is the cum? What are the new callers? What's the? Because that's what you have to have. You can't keep taking the same callers. You have to have a turnover of, you have to have what we call cum. That is people bouncing in and bouncing out, bouncing in and bouncing out. Not loyal listeners who stay with you and most likely call you every night, like I would imagine, you know, arts people, but also cum, new callers, people that are sampling the show for the first time, people who don't know quite what the show's about, but they heard something intriguing, they pick the phone up and they call. That's what we relied on. It was a really specific small percentage of the audience. Callers are a small percentage of the audience anyway. What we were relying on is an even smaller percentage. Elephant shit, says Bungholio. Thank you. From Luke, James Kaufman. Yeah, characters that push the hot social political buttons that piss people off. RC, it's safe to say it's a real sticky situation down here, Mr. Hendry. Have you ever thought of hiring a sketch artist to illustrate all your characters? We occasionally, from time to time, wanted to, and we never did. I would love to do a contest, maybe, you know, where people sketch, but then I realized not everybody is an artist. Xander, he did years ago. They can still be found on the net. Jeff is answering Xander. Yes, as a matter of fact, Jeff and Xander, I had a listener message me pictures of some characters that somebody had done. And I've seen them, you know, from time to time. I see a lot of them. So anyway. Jamie Rocks, it depends on the guests. They are mostly bands and such, so mainly the band's fans. Hip-hop acts always get a ton of calls, yeah. Or rather, female hip-hop artists. James, it would be if I were gay. I'm not, so no. Hello, Stephen. Any thoughts on Howard Stern's new contract, Mr. Hendry? I didn't know he had a new contract. Is Howard going to continue? Because, you know, every time I turn around, I hear he's going to do something different, but... I think that that's, if he's been offered a new contract with Sirius, I think that's a testament to the value of that guy's radio show to that network, because I frankly don't know anything else that they do. I don't know anybody that listens to them other than Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony to some degree. And, by the way, I'm going to be on Adam Carolla's show on the 6th. Of January. Please tell all of your friends. Let's see. Paul. Oh, I remember Phil screening calls on the 360 days. Brutal. On the 360 days. What is that? When is this goddamn... we're going to be on Adam Carolla. And that's going to be... I think it's going to be on January 6th. So mark that down on your calendars. It's going to be fantabulous, baby. The husband, that's the husband. Awesome. What does 360 mean? Jeff, how about bringing back the Bobby Dooley t-shirt, rich, tanned, and waxed? That's a great idea. I think people would dig that, yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll see, you know. Right now, the thing that's selling in our store is the Milwaukee Lion t-shirt. But, you know, that could change very, very rapidly as the days and as the weeks change. Here's another fade out into yesterday. Ooh. Yeah, it's nutty. What is that, man? Oh. There's Phil again. Oh, the 360 webcast. Now, so you saw me screening on the 360. Okay, I understand, Paul. Yes. Yeah, remember the old 360 webcast? Fuck. We still have that somewhere, man. I believe we've got that on the website, if I'm not mistaken. The old 360 degree webcast. It was literally a camera that saw, you know, you guys have probably seen. I mean, a lot of this technology was a wild, wild thing. I can tell you that right now. Just fucking wild. Bungholio says that we need Margaret Gray merch. My girlfriend loves her. God damn. You're on, man. I don't know what we would get. You know, I think some Margaret Gray butterfly sunglasses. Perfect. Some fucking old school butterfly sunglasses. Alan, Howard signed a 12-year contract with Sirius. Good for Howard. I think it's fucking awesome. If Howard signed a 12-year contract with Sirius, that is fucking massive, man. You know, and I'll tell you this much. Given these radio companies and, you know, the fact that they may or may not fucking pay you depending upon what they think their rights are. Because, look, these motherfuckers will fire you for whatever reason. And I'm sure that these contracts have become much more, shall we say, sophisticated. I think they've become much more, easier to... easier to use, you know. Everybody understands the terms. There's not a whole lot of fine print. Everybody knows that the days of fucking somebody with fine print really should be behind us, because people go into these deals understanding that. So, having said all that, I think Howard Stern's deal is probably if it's lock solid, it's a fucking fantastic thing, because this is a cat that's got a 12-year guarantee of security. And that's really where it's at. I mean, Paul Harvey, as you guys have heard me say, at the age of 80, signed a 10-year fucking deal at $10 million a year with ABC Radio. $10 million a year. Now, did he live to see the contract out? No, he did not. However, it would have been sweet if he had. So that's really, that's the goal. That's the goal for anybody. That's the goal for me. That's the goal for you. I'm not going to be working for anybody. I'm working for myself now for the rest of my fucking life. All of my gigs go through my company. You know, I am I'm a guy for hire, you know. And I do my podcast, and I do my acting gigs, and I do this, and I do that. Tonight, we're upstairs. We're writing a fucking, a TV presentation. That's what they call pilots now. And got to get that motherfucker done before too long. I got to go back upstairs and finish that thing. And but if you work for a company, yeah. So if that's true, then I'm rocking on with that shit. Bungholio, Alan, 12 years, goddamn. James, Phil, is the Saturday night movie schedule? Yeah. James, bless your heart. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It'll be next Saturday night. Now, keep in mind, we're going on vacation beginning next Saturday, but we'll have a Saturday night movie for you nonetheless. I promise before I leave. Stephen Miller, Stern is a dick. Mr. Hendry is whom I listen to. Stern contract is obscene. Thank you, Phil. Now, what did Howard Stern do, Stephen, that upset you with him so much? Jeff, yes, Bung, I love Frank even more. She is very funny when she talks about her wife. Yes, she is. My girlfriend loves Margaret, too. Luke, Phil, did you say there were going to be Lion shirts with other players' names? Yes. There will be. But right now, we have to sell out the ones that we've ordered. So We're going to have Light Touch. We're going to have Magoo, a couple of the other names. Jeff, I love it when my wife walks in and he's wearing just a thong. His ass is... Look, Phil, you should... the full Lions roster available in print as well as... Yeah, you're right, man, but I got to figure out how that motherfucking... Hey, Allie, what's up with you, babe? Are you here? I think that's just one of her tweets that... Oh, I'm up. Allie is. Allie, I think, was... I'll tell you what Allie was doing. Allie was powering down a couple of whiskey sours, man. A little too many, and she passed out halfway through this here chat, I think. My understanding is, you know, first of all, we can make them and just give them out to anybody. I thought that the way it was supposed to be is we make these shirts and then you request the shirts you want, right? Oh, hey, I want a Wayne Light Touch. But we could just, you know, send out these motherfuckers, you know, make a whole bunch of shirts with different names on them. But what are the sizes? I'm telling you, these companies, they don't, you know, whoever is involved in merchandise, you know, they want a specific note. Now, how many do you want the name Light Touch? Large, small, what? So there is a bit of a dance you have to do that I got to figure out. But Jeff, yes, Bung, he was always better than Custer and drank two fingers of Cuddy. Hey, Allie. Bungholio, I'm going to pass up mentioning, you know, I'm going to pass up reading all the propositions to Allie here. Everyone can go watch F is for Family on Netflix after the chat. Yeah, all the episodes are available. Now, you can listen for me as the voice of Colt Luger. I'm also the voice of the boss, maybe, in some of these episodes. I'm the voice of, I don't know, you know, various. Look to see if my name is on the credits. But it's a great cast, and of the cast members, I would say Mo Collins, I had a blast. Haley Reinhart of American Idol, who plays the voice of, I think, Bill as a kid. She's phenomenal, man. She's a singer and also does a great voice, is a great voice actress. I didn't know that. And Haley is a good lady, man. And see who else. Justin Long, who I didn't know who he was. I didn't. And I came into the studio one day, and he was there. And he had my bio up on Wikipedia going, Phil Hendry, huh? I go, yeah. And you're from Arcadia? I go, yes, I am, yeah. Let's see. Mike, F is for Family's freaking solid. Yeah, it's getting good reviews, man. And I tell you, Bill Burr is a terrific guy to work for. Funny man and a nice man. I wish him all the best. James Kaufman, I'd like a Lions game referee t-shirt that says Hendry in the back. No shit. I had to buy a jock strap this week. Sure wish I could. I sure wish I could have gotten a Vernon Dozier one off the site. Property of Belmar Academy. Truth. I just woke up. Maybe I'm still dramming, Allie. F is for Family is freaking solid. I love Harvey Wyman Senior chat. Yeah, that was a good one. Barbara, how you doing, Barbara? Brandon, I only got about 10 minutes through the first, going straight back after the chat. Oh, Bungholio, are you talking about F is for Family? I love the show Children's Hospital and Adult Swim. I hear that's good. Hi, Allie, how you doing, honey? Capitalism is great. Greed is not. Well, look, Stephen, if Sirius thinks he's worth the money, he's worth the money. And I have to tell you, at the end of the day, I'm a Howard Stern guy because here's why. All these other people that want to take shots at Howard Stern, I am a big admirer of people that were pioneers. You know, I love Steve Dahl, and I wish Steve Dahl was treated with far more respect and with far more, appreciation. I think our industry, I think the radio industry is a fucking disgrace. You guys have heard me say this before. To treat people like Neil Rogers and Steve Dahl and other great pioneers the way it has, the people in that run the radio business really should just go out in the woods somewhere and put the barrel of a fucking gun in their mouths and just blow their fucking brains out. I mean, for all the good they've done this business, for all of the for all the good they've done, the legacy of this business and the great talent that's come through this business, these people would do us all a big favor if they just killed themselves. I mean, that's how low they are. So, you know, Howard is one of those guys that came along at the right time, and I don't blame him for having the success that he had, but he took a lot of shit. And there are a lot of people. When you ask them this question, do you like Howard Stern? I remember the years where nobody would admit they even knew who he was, that they even listened to him, that they even... He had to, you know, battle a lot of people. There's some good people out there that I love. I love Opie and Anthony. I love Opie and Jim Norton, you know. But, hey, here's the thing, man. You know, the industry that we work for, or the industry that we were in, or are currently in radio, is one that doesn't treat its great people very well. And so my heart was broken when I saw that Neil Rogers had passed on in Miami. And I don't know how many motherfuckers, you know, there should have been motherfuckers from every area of the broadcast business at his funeral. That funeral should have been as well attended as any funeral they'd have for, you know, any great broadcast giant. At least the radio. But the radio business didn't give a shit. Let me ask you this. When Walter Cronkite dies, or if he's died, is Walter Cronkite still alive? How many people do you think will be at his funeral? And how many people will be pouring in with the testaments about how great he was? Do you think they'll do that? Did they do that for Howard Stern or for Neil Rogers? Fuck no. You know, motherfuckers should be ashamed of themselves, but they're not. Because right now in the radio business, all they're doing is looking to... save their own asses as they leap from that burning ship as it sinks in the bay, a ship that they all had a hand in setting on fire. And so I wouldn't give you 5 cents for any program director or general manager currently working in radio. Why? It's very simple. Listen to the shit that they pump out over the airwaves. Why should I have any respect for that? All right. There, you just got me on this fucking tangent. Justin Long was in Die Hard. What did he play in Die Hard? Phil, who was the most important, surprising, inspirational person to you that came to watch the show or contacted you to tell you how much they love your show? John Carpenter. And, you know, Matt Groening. And, I mean, shit, man. Howard Stern, you know, June Lockhart, I'm joking. June Lockhart's another city, but let's see. Clint Eastwood, only it wasn't him. It was his wife that contacted me. George Lopez, Paul Rodriguez, George Carlin. I was on, I had Kelly Carlin on my podcast called The Science of the Funny. And Kelly, I mentioned to her that her father, you know, I'd gone to Vegas to see her dad. I was in Vegas with my ex-wife, and her father was gracious enough to give us ringside seats, you know. I mean, I paid for them, but he had 2 ringside seats for us. So we watched and went backstage. And her father, I remember at the end of the show, he said, that crazy motherfucker, Phil Hendry. When I mentioned that story to Kelly, it didn't register a response from her other than, that's nice, you know? And I don't know, I remember him saying to me on the phone once, you know, I'd love to do maybe some character voices on your show. And I don't know if this is, I don't know if that was a problem when I said, you know, God, I really appreciate that. And I was absolutely floored that he would, you know, that he would say that to me, but it's not how I work, so I never really took him up on it, and I'm not sure if that was taken as an insult. I hope not, you know, because I loved him, and are you kidding? I mean, George Carlin is, he's a giant, man. I mean, I believe they just placed a portrait of him in some gallery in Washington, D.C. as like one of the major sort of iconic voices of American culture. You know, I don't know where it is, but there it is, man. I think Justin Long is great. Really diverse actor. That's from Allie. Where has he been? What movies? He was in Die Hard, Justin Long? What did he play? In Die Hard? No, he's a young guy, man. Die Hard came out like 15. You must be thinking of somebody else, man. What, Die Hard with Justin Long is a guy that doesn't look like he's much past 30. And Die Hard came out almost fucking 20 years ago. 15, anyway. Bungholio Steven, how is negotiating and signing a contract greed? He is keeping that outfit alive. Well, I don't want to get into the middle of this. Glenn Beck, LOL. Oh, you mean Glenn came to watch the show? He did. When I was working in Jim Cramer's studio on Wall Street on the one-year anniversary of 9/11, we all went to New York, and yeah, Glenn came and watched the show. I mention that from time to time, just, you know, as a little... you know, I can't begrudge Glenn his success. It's amazing success, and amazing success really is. To what it is that he does, I mean, he's a showman, and he's the perfect showman for really for if you think about talk radio, because it's just a political format. It's not a format that, you know, is involved in the entertainment business as I understand it. It's a news talk format. You know, it always will be. He was in Die Hard 4. When was Die Hard 4 produced? Any insight into who are you talking about there, Keenan? Any insight into what they said? You mean the cats that liked my show? I will tell you that Justin Long was great as the walrus in Tusk. I don't know if you guys are putting me on now. He played the guy in trouble, and Bruce had to save him. All right, I don't know. Well, that's great. I didn't watch the movie, but and I don't mean to be insulting. Believe me, I don't. Maybe I shouldn't have said anything, you know. But I'm, you know, very, 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 very grateful that I got cast at F's for Family. They're terrific people. Everybody. Kevin Farley was there early on. And I hope that his work, Trevor Duvall, who is Guardians of the Galaxy, he did a voice in that. He is in the cast. I mean, it's a really great cast. And Mike Price, who's the showrunner, who was also a showrunner on The Simpsons. Great, great showrunner and producer. Justin Long was in Waiting, funny-ass movie. Man, I gotta get out and see some fucking movies, man. Have you ever heard from Art Bell? David, I haven't heard from Art Bell except for a tweet that he sent toward me saying, thanks, buddy. I said, we're sorry to see you're leaving, Art. God bless you. Well, actually, we were tweeting out that he was back on the air, I think. I think Art has had a couple of stutter steps, hasn't he? He was back with Sirius, then he was off, then he was back on terrestrial radio. I think Art, and I hope that it is the case with Art, that... you know, he's just calling his own shots. He's just doing what he wants to fucking do, you know? And if it ain't good enough, then he ain't going to do it, you know? So I'm just thrilled for him. And he's splitting, you know? He doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want to do it anymore. You know, I made a joke, you know, about how, you know, when we did his character, we're talking about how... I'm sick and tired of all the clowns, you know? I can't handle this shit anymore, so... Who knows? Maybe that's true. You know, I don't know. Justin Long is also a Mac guy. Bung, it's true. You always take what you can get. That is capitalism. But if you are wealthy, then stand down. Well, now we're getting into a whole commie versus capitalism thing. I'm not exactly sure I want to be involved in that. We're talking right now. And Stephen Miller and Bung Julio, and they're talking about the capitalism. Well, Mr. Buckley, no, you don't think that it's right? No, I don't think it's right for them to take this money. We live in a society where there are many poor people.
Well, certainly there are poor people. But that is not exactly an interesting question as to whether or not the poor are the responsibility of the rich, you see.
Oh, here we go. Here we go, man. Oh, fuck. Oh, Henry, don't... Yeah, there you go. There you go, boys. I don't know. A little skinny. Keenan, I imagine you talk to yourself all the time working on... What is the most embarrassing time that happened? What do you mean? Talking to myself? Never. Steven, this is going nowhere. Not the forum for this. Sorry, I started it. Oh, take it easy, you guys. It's a good, Mr. Henry, is that a nudist colony behind you? Yes, it is, Allie. Or it was. It's gone now. It's a nudist colony in Florida, Allie. It is near Sarasota, Florida. And you're looking at the nudidity pictures. Here, I'll get them up for you again. You're looking at the nudidity of this nude colony. In the early 1960s, this is a film that was made by Doris Wishman called Diary of a Nudist. And the pretense is that you would see how nudists live, but the actual factual reason for this movie is as a titillating, what they called nudie cutie movie. And it was early porn. And this is available eminent domain on the Internet Archive, as is a few other of these interesting so-called nudie cuties. Pretty interesting, man. And these people are all the forerunners to the porn actors of the mid to late 60s, early 70s, when they started getting into hardcore. Luke D. reminds me of the documentary on Buckland Gore, but on Netflix. Hey, man, Luke, just go to YouTube and look at the actual fucking ABC video clips from the 68 convention. You'll laugh your fucking ass off. This shit is, it's gold, man. Vidal and William Buckley going at it on ABC television during the 68 convention, which was the most insane convention ever, because there were fucking riots in the streets. All kinds of shit was happening. And Gore Vidal and William F. Buckley, two masterminds, matching wits. Unreal, man. Unreal. Love it, man. Love it. So, yeah, I want to see the documentary, but just check the raw footage out first, man. It's on YouTube, and it is a blast, my brother. All right. Thank you very much, you guys. This is thank you for hanging with me. I can't thank you enough for being here with me. I apologize profusely for the problems we had. I know you guys are up an hour later than usual, and that's my fault. That's the fault of our team. What happened was we were updating, which happens automatically for websites, updating some script, I believe, and one of them had a bug in it. Now, that's not necessarily malicious. It's not necessarily somebody, you know, inserting a virus. It is poorly written. It is a poorly written program, et cetera. I'm sure you're aware. So that's what happened. And I apologize again to all of you fine young people out there who, you know, were hanging with us and you didn't quite get the thing when the thing was the thing was the thing, okay? All right, whatever I'm saying here, you know, I appreciate you guys. We are going to be in Hawaii in a week, and we'll have a show every day from Hawaii, and you're going to see some amazing, amazing fucking video from Hawaii. You'll see amazing, amazing video from all over the island of Kauai. That's where we're going to be. We'll be in Poipu, but we will have shows every week, every day, while we're on vacation, starting on the 26th. So this whole next week, we'll have shows for you, new shows for you. Milwaukee Lions on Sunday against Portland, their final home game a week from Sunday while we're off in Hawaii. And then I think the first playoff game is when we get back. But you know how it goes. So we'll see you guys on Monday here. And don't forget, we're giving away a Star Wars Christmas package. And also, we're giving away that trip to L.A. to watch the movie with me and go and get a steak dinner with me, whether it's at Ted's. Probably better that it's not at Ted's, if you want my honest opinion. Good night, all.